next sections, sections E to G. Section E, mileage allowance payments and passenger payments. HMRC provide a working sheet number 6 to cover this. We have to report the excess over and above the authorised mileage rates of 40p a mile for the first 10,000 business miles and 25p per mile thereafter. For mileage allowance payments, the approved amount is the number of business miles travelled other than as a passenger multiplied by the appropriate rate of 40p or 25p. The question is, does the employer have a system in place to check if any director or employee has exceeded the tax relief available, for example, paying 40p a mile for more than 10,000 business miles? For passenger payments, the approved amount is the number of business miles travelled by either car or van for which a passenger is carried and in respect of which passenger payments are made by the employer. The rate is 5p per mile. And passenger payments can be paid in respect of company cars or vans for which the employee is charged as a benefit in kind. Section F deals with company cars and car fuel benefits. This again is a Class 1A brown box section. And here again also, HMRC provides working sheet number 2 to help calculate the benefits. Employers must provide details of the cars made available for private use and the total car benefit charge. The car benefit charge isn't based on use of the car, it's based on availability. To calculate the car benefit, we have to go through a series of steps, find in the price of the car, add in the price of any accessories which fall to be taken into account, make in any required deductions for capital contributions by the employee, then take in the lower of the amount carried forward from step 3 and the £80,000 limit that currently applies but which is shortly to be abolished. What I mean by that is if someone has a £100,000 car, at the moment the limit to be applied is £80,000. We then have to find the appropriate percentage for the car based on the CO2 emissions of the car. We multiply the price by the percentage to arrive at the car benefit. We also, having done that, can make a deduction for any payments made by the employee or director for the private use of the car. The price of a car means its list price, if it has one, or its notional price, if it has no list price. But rarely will we come across a car without a list price. The list price is the inclusive price published by the manufacturer, importer, or distributor of the car if sold singly in a retail sale in the open market. It's not the discounted price. The list price must include standard accessories, any relevant taxes such as VAT, car tax, any customs or excise duties, any tax chargeable as if it were a customs duties and delivery charges, but it doesn't include the car registration fee and it doesn't include the road fund license. If a car is not available for some time during the tax year, no adjustment can be made unless the period when the car was not available totaled at least 30 consecutive days. We have to report the list price of the car and the optional accessories fitted to the car when first made available. There is a difference when accessories are added after the car was first made available, because we can ignore the cost of any accessories which cost under £100. I've mentioned capital contributions which an employee might make towards the purchase of a car, perhaps towards the purchase of a tow bar to be fitted to the car. Capital contributions up to £5,000 can be used to reduce the list price of the car. If an employee makes a payment towards the private use of the car, as opposed to a capital contribution, that will reduce the benefit in kind after it's been calculated. The CO2 emissions of the car can be obtained from the logbook and then checked against the revenue's published guidelines on CO2 emissions. We have to remember to add 3% to the CO2 figure for diesel cars, except those diesel cars that were Euro 4 qualifying and registered before 31st of December 2006. The cash equivalent of each car must be reported, then the total cash equivalent for all cars available in 2009-10 as shown in box 10. Next, let me look at the provision of car fuel for private motoring, which is one of the major issues picked up so often by HM Revenue and Customs officers. The cash equivalent of fuel for each car fuel benefit charge should be shown, and then the total cash equivalent of fuel for all cars made available in 2009 should be entered in box 10 of the P11D. A car fuel benefit charge will apply unless fuel or any mileage allowance was provided solely for business travel, or alternatively, the director or employee was required to make good the cost of any private motoring and actually did make good. Making good can be by a payment to cover the cost of any private fuel or by replacing or replenishment of the fuel used for private motoring. But be warned, HMRC will check the method used and they will seek to impose fuel scale charges if the records are not sufficient to prove that no private fuel was provided. Next section is section G for company vans. Again, it's a brown box class 1A. And again, HMRC provide a working sheet, this time number 3, to help calculate the benefit. Employers are required to report the cash equivalent of all vans made available for unrestricted private use. If there's restricted private use, then the benefit will not have to be reported. The report is at box 9 for the van benefit and box 10 for the fuel benefit. A van is defined as a mechanically propelled road vehicle which is of a construction primarily suited for the conveyance of goods or burden of any description and of a design weight not exceeding 3,500 kilograms or 3.5 metric tons. Sometimes we need to be clear about whether a vehicle is a van or a company car. And this is particularly a problem with double cab pickup vehicles, which might be a car or might be a van. You need to check that out. Where a taxable benefit does arise, the cash equivalent is a standard charge of £3,000 per van used for unrestricted private use. There is also a £500 charge where private fuel is provided with that company van. The full charge applies if the van is used as a benefit throughout the year. The benefit is apportioned if the employee commenced or ceased to use the van privately during the year. And like company cars, it can be reduced for any periods where it was unavailable for 30 consecutive days or more. The benefit for any shared vans is apportioned between the users in proportion to their use. So that if you have a team of two people sharing the use of a van, they might be taxed on 50% of the benefit each.